This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1445. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded January 27th, plans for new U.S. shortwave and old public radio stations. Ireland adding shortwave, Slovakia deleting medium wave. English from Yemen is back. Superb medium wave and VHF propagation. And the HF outlook. Standard disclaimer. Late last year, the FCC accepted for filing three applications concerning U.S. shortwave stations, notably two which are not yet on the air, KTMI in Oregon, we've known about for some time, although visits to the listed transmitter site have shown no progress in actually building the station. Nevertheless, they've applied for a license, which indicates that they are ready to begin operations, says Ben Cobb, who's been analyzing this information and finding out more about them. They did not yet have program test authority, but that should follow soon if everything is in order. The frequencies applied for are 6025, 9445, and 11615, with rather strange target areas, I may say, toward Mexico and Cuba, Kamchatka, and central Canada. The station address is in Albany, Oregon. It was previously given as Lebanon, Oregon, not far away. That may still be where the transmitter is, or would be, as opposed to the studios and offices. Another application came from WINB in Pennsylvania for license renewal. Ben says that's not remarkable except for the fact that it was filed November 14, 2003, a few days after the published expiration date. The FCC finally designated this application acceptable for filing over 5 years later on December 29th. So I can only wonder if WINB was in limbo for 5 years and nobody noticed or cared. But most interesting is the third one, an applicant doing business as Hill Radio International, actually an individual, Scott Mock, M-O-C-K, who has the ham call WB4BFO. He plans to broadcast from his home in Milton, Florida. He proposes to use a custom-built transmitter and a four-element cubicle quad antenna at 90 feet above ground. Ben says he told me his station, which he hopes to name WJHR, will broadcast exclusively in single sideband. Thus, to the FCC application question of rated unmodulated carrier power output, he answered zero. Stated emission type is B8E. He conceded that SSB broadcasting is unusual, but feels that there are enough SSB-capable receivers now that his content will be compelling. He said it would be a commercial operation, but funded mostly by contributors from churches that support our beliefs. Programming comes from a 40-year collection of recordings made at Smyrna Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. You'll recall this church received its own construction permit for an HF station 1 year ago. There's several months left before that CP expires, but it appears it will not be built, and that WJHR is a new version of that project. Well, I've also, from another source, got some more background info about this. Yes, it was originally on behalf of Smyrna Baptist Church, but under a new pastor, the church decided not to spend their money on it after a consulting engineer explained to the congregation what was required to make it a 50-kilowatt shortwave transmitter on AM. The person who was spearheading the project then applied to build the station himself. The lack of a power on the paperwork makes us suspect he's trying to slip under the supposed 50-kilowatt minimum. And we can only wonder what kind of audience he can possibly reach with a pure SSB signal of maybe 10 kilowatts. If it went on the air, will money start flowing in from pastors and listeners? Hardly, we think. Maybe it's just another pet project. I know WRMI has been working on their antenna aimed northwestward across North America, and apparently they've succeeded in making some improvements. The signal has improved lately, especially between 15 and 17 UT, when it's mostly but not entirely in English and mostly but not entirely repeats of DX programs, including World of Radio. That's Monday through Friday. Not sure if they'll continue using the Northwest antenna as improved for the World Radio Network relays starting at 1700 UT on weekdays. With a new administration for a week, let's look at how things are changing in U.S. government broadcasting so far. Via KimAndrewElliott.com, the Miami Herald reported that the head of Radio and TV, Marti, will stay on his post at least temporarily, despite the administration change expected to result in a resignation for the political appointee. Pedro Roich, director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, was asked to stay on by the federal agency controlling Radio and TV, Marti, in consultation with the team of President Obama. Kim Elliott replies, I thought the point of the International Broadcasting Act of 1994 is for senior appointments to be made by the firewall Broadcasting Board of Governors rather than by the president. If new senior managers, such as the director of Radio TV Marti and the director of VOA, are named by or because of the new administration, this would be an indication that U.S. international broadcasting lacks the independence necessary to achieve the credibility that is required for success in international broadcasting. And it would also beg the question, why does the Broadcasting Board of Governors exist? Meanwhile, at the FCC, President Obama has named a new acting chairman, Michael J. Copps. He has been a commissioner since 2001 and acknowledges his transitional role. Copps is likely to step aside when a permanent chairman is named head of the FCC, who, of course, will be a Democrat. Previous chairman Kevin Martin, Republican, resigned about the time Obama took over. Julius Genachowski, a former FCC legal counsel and member of Obama's transition team, has been widely rumored to be the president's choice to head the FCC, but he's been busy with his work on the transition team so far. That story was by David Gardner in InformationWeek.com via Mike Terry. For the past 8 years, there's been an acting presidential radio address, as I've called it on my monitoring reminders calendar, since Bush and his cronies stole two elections. Now there is a real presidential radio address, so I have removed acting from it. Actually, it's no longer called a radio address, since even back in the campaign, President Obama started doing it on YouTube as well. But I've confirmed it's still scheduled on radio, including AFRTS, Saturdays at 1730 UT, on 12133.5 upper sideband, repeated at 0230 UT Sundays, and presumably on all the other AFRTS SSB frequencies. It's also on C-SPAN 1, if you have cable television, at various times on Saturdays and UT Sundays. You can never depend on it being on any particular time, it seems, anymore, but check the C-SPAN online schedule. In each case, they're followed by a Republican response, which so far, at least the first week, was without any video. I wonder how much longer that will last. Via Artie Bigley, the Ohio Media Watch blog reports an Ohio public radio merger. As in commercial radio, the incredibly awful economy is starting to affect public radio as well. That's prompted a big move at Oxford's Miami University of Ohio, where the university's NPR affiliate, WMUB, will lose its original programming on March 1st. Cincinnati Public Radio will operate it starting then and program it as a repeater for WVXU 91.7, in addition to the original station with different programming, WGUC 90.9. Furthermore, we have a story that budget cuts may result in format changes in Tennessee public broadcasting. Doug Smith reports at WTFDA that a Tennessee state official mentioned several programs that may need to be cut, including radio stations associated with some colleges and universities, including, I'll just give the towns, you know which ones, Murfreesboro, Cookeville, Johnson City, Clarksville, Memphis, and Gallatin. Well, at Memphis, it's the University of Memphis station, WUMR, and not the WKNO stations. Also one in Chattanooga has already been sold to Gospel Hucksters, WAWL 91.5. IGH really can't believe how short-sighted some educational institutions are, unloading their broadcasting stations as soon as possible. Doug Smith also reports, oops, they did it again. The calls WJTJ have been assigned to a non-commercial FM station in Cameron, Missouri. It might not have been a large breach of policy if Cameron were near the Mississippi River, and the station might have moved from the Illinois side, but Cameron is near Kansas City, nowhere near that river, although it's near the Missouri River. We wonder if the FCC was confused about their rivers and their boundaries. Greenland's only shortwave broadcast station is quite a DX target in North America, even though we're not that far away. But it's very low-powered and difficult to hear, mostly reported from Europe. Now we have a presumed report of it from Michigan by Harold Froge on one of MERS DX expeditions. This was January 23rd from 2144 until sign-off at 2212 on 3815 upper sideband, presumed Kalalit Nunata Radio, playing some Peter, Paul, and Mary music, and an unknown language being spoken at 2200, which is no doubt either Danish or Greenlandic. There was lower sideband traffic, ham interference, as is almost always the case on that frequency, 3815. There's also been a discussion in DX Listening Digest that Greenland used to have a regular shortwave external service. This was many years ago. Intervalsignals.net has a clip of a couple of them dating back to 1961. Via Mike Brooker, IRCA, the Toronto Star reported January 27th that CFRB is making cuts, again for economic reasons, including a radio veteran, the award-winning reporter and commentator Taylor Parnaby, a 50-year news veteran, is calling it quits. This long story, strangely enough, never mentions CFRX, which has greatly expanded CFRB's outreach. Also being dismissed are four veteran CFRB news producers, and only one show has been canceled, the Richard Syrett Show, which they said was not performing as it should. Anyhow, there may be some further programming changes on CFRX 6070. Despite band scans on 49 meters virtually every morning, somewhere around 1330 to 15 UT, I've not heard for several weeks now, XEXQ in San Luis Potosi, Mexico, 6045. Even under the best of circumstances, it's been a tough catch. And Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla tells us that the engineer at the station, Moreno, says they're currently broadcasting with low power as they had a problem with some of the power transistors and are waiting for replacements, which they expect to get as soon as possible, and then get back up to their full, hefty 250 watts. Nevertheless, Ron Howard in California was able to hear it in the evening, January 11th and 17th, until sign-off at 0100. He says they sign off early on the weekends and measured at 6044.93. Well, it's a presumed log. I guess he was unable to pull an ID, but it's usually slightly off frequency, just as he reported. If you're looking for the reactivated Caribbean beacon Angola on 1610 kHz, a few tips. While there are no U.S. broadcast stations at all on 1610, just low-power TIS and HAR outlets, there are a couple of Canadians in Toronto and Montreal, including some programming in Spanish, so don't be confused, but there's also a station near Mexico City. And that's been reported by those actually looking for Anguilla. For example, in the ABDX list, Alan First in Round Rock, Texas, near Austin, was hearing what sounded like Middle Eastern chanting. But that turned out to be just XEUACH in Chapingo, Mexico, as identified by Stephen Wiseblood, who was also hearing it at 0248UT. And he kept listening and determined that their sign-off was at 0307UT, but the carrier was still on a few minutes later. The next evening, Harry Helms in Corpus Christi was hearing what he describes as Cuban techno music from the Mexican station. However, it should be easy to separate that from Anguilla at more or less right angles from much of the U.S. About the Caribbean Beacon, Jerry Kiefer, New Mexico, explains in NRC, no call letters were issued. That's not unusual in British overseas territories. The transmitter is in an area of the island called the Valley, same location as 690 and the shortwave frequencies. What helped kill the operation of 1610 a number of years ago was the power cost. The previous owner and founder before Gene Scott, Bill Kitchens, knew how to play the game. He took care of the maintenance and upkeep of the local government station on 1510. As a result, the beacon got a favorable power rate. Things changed after the doctor took control, and the relationship became more by the book. 1610 also dropped a lot of the island gospel programming that had endeared it to the local population in the Eastern Caribbean, and the love was lost. World of Radio 1445 is 58% complete. Consult our website for much more info, in fact 100% of it, at worldofradio.org in the archive of DX Listening Digest. Your contributions always welcome to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA. Our thanks this week for financial support go to Mike Bew in Austin, Texas, who sent a donation via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. You never know what Hugo Chavez will do next, even concerning his own radio program, Alo Presidente. After sporadic appearances on previous Sundays in January, there was no sign of the program on January 25th. As relayed via Cuba on the usual frequencies, 11690, 11875, 13680, 13750, best in North America, and 17750. But those are the frequencies to check starting at 14UT when there's some RHC programming. As a prelude, the president usually doesn't get started till almost an hour later, and then he may go on until 1900 or later, if he feels like it. In DSWCI DX Window, Arnaldo Stein in Argentina observes that Radio 9 de Julio in São Paulo, Brazil, is on the air only in the local mornings on 9819.4. Well, not exactly. Another report we have from a listener in Rio de Janeiro, J. Ricardo, on HCDX, says he heard it at 1820UT, January 25th, with music for young people. The ID, however, did not mention this frequency. A lot of interference after 1830. But the signal was strong. So that was in the local afternoon, but probably it still is not to be heard in the local evenings. Most of you will be hearing this after the fact, but for the record, and in case something comes of it, we had word a few days in advance in DX Listening Digest from WRN that RTE Ireland would carry out a test transmission Wednesday, January 28th at 19:30 to 20:30 UT on 6220 kilohertz, and was seeking reports from listeners in Africa, the Middle East, and Europe to be sent to FREQDEPT at WRN.org. So it looks like besides the WRMI relays, RTE is thinking again about doing some more shortwave broadcasting. On the other hand, Slovenský rozhlas, Slovak radio, is closing down its last three medium-wave transmitters. Says Karl Hunzik in neighboring Czechia and the medium-wave DX Yahoo group, namely 702, 1017, and 1098 kilohertz switched off for good on Sunday, February 1st. Kai Ludwig followed up with more info about this in DX Listening Digest. Slovak Radio has wanted to get rid of medium wave since 2007. But this would involve closing down Radio Patria, a minority service. But from February 2nd, the Hungarian service would expand it to 12 hours a day and carry it via seven frequencies along the Hungarian border that otherwise belong to networks of one of the other FM services. The shorter minority broadcasts in other languages will be included after 6 p.m. in the program lineup of Radio Regina. Yet another annoying spur from a Russian shortwave transmitter via BCDX. Ralph Ladouche in Germany reported in ADX, the Voice of Russia French service, on 6240.8. It's from the Moscow Lesnoy site. Niels Schiffhauer in Germany also reported it. This is after 2020 UT, and I assume that would be colliding with the Grigoriopol Moldova relays on 6240. Luís Carvalho in Portugal tells us that Radio Portugal, RDPI, is starting DRM broadcasts on January 31st via the Sinish facility, used mainly for Deutsche Welle, which is already doing DRM from there. Saturdays and Sundays, 09:30 to 11 UT, towards Central Europe on 9810 through 9820 kHz. However, the same programming will remain in analog on another frequency, 12020. It seems that as part of the agreement to allow Deutsche Welle to broadcast via Portugal, that RDPI is entitled to a certain amount of airtime, and they might as well make use of the DRM facilities at no additional cost, or even less cost, since there will be a power saving, even if they lose a lot of listeners. Chris Greenway forwards an AP story via the Washington Post on January 26th that the Antananarivo premises of the state TV and radio were trashed, looted, and burned by rioters, and Radio Madagascar was off the air. It seems they were objecting to the apparent shutdown of the opposition's radio station, which, strangely enough, this story never got around to naming or let alone giving the frequency. But a follow-up story from AP the next day, via Zaharias Liangas, says the opposition radio station was back on the air. It was called, or is called, Radio Viva. And we're not yet sure what effect this had on the transmitter site on shortwave of Radio Madagascar. See if you hear them on 5010. They were reported earlier in January on 5009.94 at 1850 January 7th. Good quality French programming per Johann Wiespointner in Austria, DSW CIDX window. And Richard D'Angelo also reported from Pennsylvania on January 19th and 20th. They were running all-night programs heard from 2005 to 0155 UT, including a radio play in Malagasy, nondescript music, and possibly some talk. But there is interference from India opening at midnight 13. Last week we had breaking news of a new clandestine, a relay of the Hamas television service on radio called Radio Al-Aqsa, AQSA, for Palestine, obviously prompted by the events there, on 5815 and 5835 kilohertz. Although the situation in Gaza settled down somewhat, this was still going a week later, as monitored by Jose Miguel Romero in Spain and Tarek Zeidan in Egypt at various times between 1830 and 2100 UT or a bit later. Check those frequencies for this Arabic programming. The site from which it is coming still unknown. In DSW CIDX window, Roland Schulze in Germany reports English programs again being heard from the Republic of Yemen radio in Sana'a on 9780, January 11th, 12th, and 15th, during the hour starting at 1800 UT, concluding with news headlines at 18:55. But he says it was very weak under a strong unknown station. Jerry Lineman in Texas was also looking for it and was hearing it at 18:45 January 24th on 9780.1. They had Western music, male and female announcers, and gave a phone number in Sana'a. He was also hoping to hear Jeddah, Saudi Arabia at the same time, not that far away on 9580, but no luck, just Australia. Chris Janssen in Belgium adds that Radio Sana'a is considered the first program of Yemen radio, but the second program, Radio Aden, also has English, which you can hear online via the website www.adenradio.net. Just look for the link, This is Yemen. Aslam Javaid in Lahore, Pakistan, has an unfavorable review of his country's push to service. I believe he understands that language. He says it's on 4845 at 1300 to 1325 UT for Afghanistan. He monitored it January 21st. It's the buzzy API-3 transmitter, SINPO rating in the twos. They have a Quran recitation, religious poetry, and a relay of a Pashto news bulletin from the home service, and then some songs. He says the service is on a shoestring budget. They cannot afford a separate news bulletin for the external service. They used to have announcers giving the names of the singers along with the songs, but now it's just back-to-back music without any announcements, and the same songs are played every other day, despite the fact there's no dearth of Pashto singers. He says, I cannot help wondering at continuation of such a useless broadcast. The timing has been changed three times. The program content is very poor and reception is worthless. The chances of this service ever developing any listenership are remote, despite that Afghanistan is one of the last few countries where shortwave listening is still alive. Ron Howard in California notes that Myanmar Radio, which has been on 5985 exactly for several months, presumably from its new capital transmitter site, was back on the old off frequency January 27th until sign off at 1600. That one is believed to be at the old capital, Yangon, also known as Rangoon, measured on 5985.81. Of course, that gets further from interference on 5980, but if there's anything on 5985, there is once again a heterodyne. Winter sporadic e-openings finally happened January 25th and 26th into the TV and FM bands, to the delight of TVDXers, who may be having their last look at some analog TV stations before the close down February 17th. Oops, some of them can now wait till June 12th, so maybe all is not over yet. Medium wave propagation between Europe and North America has been extraordinary this week. KBRW 680 on the north slope of Alaska, widely reported not only in the UK but in continental Europe. Faroe Islands 531 kHz, also widely reported in Northeast America. Maybe this will continue because the propagation outlook from Boulder, issued January 27th, shows ANK indices at only 5 and 2 and solar flux stuck at 70 through February 23rd. And that's World of Radio 1445. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.